Bible in just a moment. We will continue the study that we began this morning. Appreciate visitors that we may have tonight. We hope that our study will be useful to you, and we invite you to get a Bible and join in following carefully from the Word of God. And if you see something that is said or done that is not in harmony with the Word of God, then we want to invite you to point that out to us so that we can study more about it together. We believe there is a way that is right, that God has revealed that way to us, that we can know it, understand it, and we can live it according to His will and be therefore blessed by Him in our life and throughout eternity. If you're not a Christian, then we want to encourage you tonight to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. In faith, to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your past sins. To be added by Him to His church, and to then obtain the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ now and under the day of eternity. We began our study this morning concerning whether or not the words of Jesus apply today. And it's a needful study, as we've tried to point out this morning in some detail, that there are a number of brethren, including in this region, who are convinced and convincing others that the words of Jesus, when He taught personally on earth, do not apply to us today, that rather He was teaching the law of Moses to the Jews, that He was a Jewish rabbi, that is, a Jewish teacher, teaching Jews how to keep the law of Moses, and that they needed to repent because God was bringing a judgment upon their country, and they needed to repent prior to that. Now, there's no question they needed to repent. There's no question God had prophesied through Malachi there would be a day of judgment coming. The question is not whether Jesus was teaching Jews, because He did come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was a Jew born under the law, and He taught Jews primarily, but not exclusively, while He was on earth. And that's a point that also needs to be noted. Yes, He lived among the Jews as a Jew, and He taught them in their synagogue, but even as we read this morning, in the synagogue, He was preaching the kingdom of God. He was preaching not Moses, but Himself as the fulfillment of the prophets of the Old Testament. Let's review just a minute, and if you weren't here this morning and you want to study that with us, then there are a couple of ways you can do that. It's going to be posted online, both at the PowerPoints and the audio. Should be posted by tomorrow sometime. Or let me know, and I'll make a CD for you, and it'll have the audio, or we could probably even make a DVD, so it would have audio and the video on there as well. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I'll get Chuck to do it. He's my IT guy, so we'll make it available to you one way or another. We want a thorough study and understanding of these things. Let's review for just a moment before we look at some new material. We studied this morning that Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets in Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Don't think that I came to destroy or invalidate the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." That is, to render them complete. And Romans 10:4 says, Jesus is the end. He is the aim. He is the goal of the law to all those who believe. And so that He, in His fulfillment of the Old Testament law and the prophets, that is the law of Moses and the prophets, then He becomes an adequate, indeed a perfect sacrifice for the sins committed under the law and the sins of the nations who never lived under the law of Moses. So that it is Jesus who is fulfilling the law, not as some of our brethren are suggesting to us. Really, Jesus was trying to get all the Jews to fulfill the law. No, they were sinners under the law, and the law condemned them as sinners, and it provided them no redemption. They needed redemption from their sins, and that would come not from the law of Moses, but through the blood of the Savior and His gospel, the good news that the prophet said He, as Messiah, would preach. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, we studied that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him to proclaim glad tidings, good news, or gospel, to proclaim liberty from sin, You see, that people were held under and that the law could not extract them from. Jesus read that passage in Luke 4 chapter verses 18 and 19, and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Just as he said, "I came to fulfill," he was fulfilling them as he was proclaiming gospel, not the law of Moses, to his audiences. And again, we concluded this morning by noting a number of passages that speak to the point that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35, Luke the 4th chapter, and verses 42 through 44. And also John 12, 49 through 50, where Jesus said, "The Father has given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that His commandment is eternal life," or everlasting life. "Therefore, as the Father commands me, thus I speak." Jesus spoke what the Father commanded Him, and the words Jesus spoke from the Father contain life. And yet in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 6, we find that the letter, that is the law, the old covenant, was a letter of death. It did not have redemption in it. The Spirit gives life. John 6:63, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. He did not preach Moses. Now we're going to continue with that study. And there's the practical application and concern, because you see, we need to answer the question whether to apply Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:3-9 to all marriages today. That's at the heart of this study. There are other tentacles that spread out from it. There's the 80-70 doctrine tentacle, and all of that error that grows out of misunderstanding the covenants and misunderstanding the work of Jesus. But this one particularly is our concern. Because you see, we believe and we teach that Matthew 19:9, in Jesus teaching the lifelong nature of marriage from the beginning, as God from the beginning made the male and female, and what He taught in there about only one cause for putting away and marrying another, that's Christ's law today for all who enter marriage. As we noted the quotations this morning, and you can go back and listen to the lesson, there are a number of brethren, indeed most preachers in this area, will teach you that, no, Jesus was explaining Moses in Matthew 19. That's not what the text teaches. And we'll be happy to even go have more lessons on Jesus and Moses from that point of view. See, there's a practical application here and a practical concern. Because, you see, if Matthew 19 doesn't apply today to people in marriages, then what does? Well, then we have to go to 1 Corinthians 7, we're told. Because, see, that was after the cross. And anything before the cross, that was all law of Moses in this doctrine. And so what you end up having in 1 Corinthians 7 then is people perverting still more scriptures, convincing people they can stay in whatever marriage they happen to be in at the time they believe and obey the gospel. But they don't have to repent of adulterous remarriages, that is, in the adultery, they can just stay in whatever they're in. Now those are some of the ramifications, among others, that exist from this false doctrine. We need to go on, though, and look just at what Jesus preached. Because if Jesus preached the kingdom instead of Moses, then any doctrine that springboards off of the idea that Jesus was just teaching the law of Moses to Jews is necessarily going to be flawed. It's going to be flawed. Remember Luke 16 and verse 16. The Word of God says that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. So the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John, and now Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did He preach? Well, according to the prophetic reading of Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, there was a new covenant. And we submit to you that Jesus came preaching the new covenant. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. And we've just read this a moment ago. Troy led us in the reading. So there would be a new covenant, and that under this new covenant, he said, I will forgive their sins, I will remember them no more. Now, remember, Hebrews teaches us that under the law of Moses, there was a remembrance of sin. Did Jesus come teaching something where there would continue to be a remembrance of sin? Or did He come preaching that there would be removal of sin, forgiveness of sin? In Hebrews, the 8th chapter, of course, an application is made of Jeremiah 31. And the application of it is, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the first covenant, if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. If there had been a means of redemption under the first covenant, there wouldn't have been the need for a new covenant. But finding fault with them, verse 8. It wasn't that the law was not holy. We mentioned this morning. The law was holy and righteous and good. It came from God, Romans 7:7. So don't let someone suggest to you that what we're teaching today is to say that the law was not holy and righteous and good. Yes, it was. It came from God. But you see, there was no mechanism of redemption. If you wanted to live under the law, you had to keep it without sin. Because when you violated law, then you become a lawbreaker, a sinner, a transgressor, and you need redemption. Because the wages of sin is death. The law could not extract you from your sin. So finding fault with them, verse 8, he's talking about the fact that men sin. The sin problem. He said, he proclaimed the days were coming a new covenant would be made. They did not continue in my covenant, verse 9. That is the law of Moses. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I'll be their God, they'll be my people. Is that not exactly what Jesus was doing in the Sermon on the Mount? He was talking to them about the righteousness of the kingdom. That no doubt the traditions of the Pharisees and the scribes had removed the people from an accurate and proper keeping of the law. But you see, he also taught about the proper righteousness of the kingdom. It wasn't going to be achieved through keeping Moses. It was going to be through putting this gospel on their hearts and living by faith, not by the deeds of the law. Galatians discusses that in detail. Now, verse 13, when he says a new covenant, when Jeremiah said a new covenant, he made the first obsolete. The old covenant was becoming obsolete and passing away in Jeremiah's day. Now here's the dilemma. Here's Jesus coming on the scene, and according to this doctrine that Jesus' personal teaching before the cross was old covenant teaching, we have Jesus teaching an obsolete covenant. He's telling people, you've got to keep this covenant. But Jeremiah, 600 years before the days of Christ, it was already becoming obsolete. God's purpose was already to remove it. And now Jesus comes on the scene and says, hey, folks, you need to go back to the law of Moses. Who can believe it? But that's the doctrine being taught. It's being taught to remove responsibility from Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. Don't lose sight of that. That's why it's being taught. Look at chapter 9 of Hebrews in verse 15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors under the first covenant. Jesus mediated a new covenant because there were sinners under the old covenant and they couldn't be saved by it. He died. His death is for the redemption of the transgressors under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Jesus wasn't calling people back to Moses. It did not contain an eternal inheritance. He was calling them out of their sin through the redemption that would be found in His blood.
He was preaching the new covenant, the covenant of the kingdom. It says it was his blood that dedicated that covenant. That's what he was preaching. Look, in Matthew 26:19, before his death, what did he preach? Now, apostles, you be sure you keep the law of Moses. I've been trying to tell you that all the 3 years of my work. Now, I want you to remember, you keep the law of Moses. Is that what he was doing? Matthew 26 and in verse 19. While they were keeping the Passover, because they lived under the law, but look what he did. At that Passover, what did he do? He preached to them about a memorial supper that was going to be eaten in his kingdom. Jesus was preaching about his death, about a new covenant dedicated by his blood. The very one Jeremiah had prophesied is now accomplished in his death, going to be dedicated by his blood, going to be proclaimed to the world for redemption. He wasn't turning people, including his apostles, back to the law of Moses. That was going to be nailed to the cross. He was preaching redemption that would occur as the inheritance of the new covenant. Again, look, he was preaching about inheritance. Hebrews 9. He came bringing an inheritance, and his death, by means of his death, there's redemption, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. When do you write a will? Well, you write it when you're alive, don't you? When does it take effect? Oh, after you die. What did Jesus do? He wrote a will. When did he write his will? That is, when did he present his will? Before he died. When did it take effect? After he was dead and arose from the dead and exalted at the right hand of God, he dispensed the blessing, the inheritance of his will through his gospel. But what he preached before his death, he preached the terms of his will. He preached about his will and the inheritance of it and the righteousness he expected in his kingdom. Jesus preached the new covenant as he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus preached a different message in John 1. We mentioned this verse this morning. Let's go back there. John 1, verses 17 and 18. It makes a stirring and stark contrast that exposes the underbelly of this false doctrine. The verse says, "The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Now, Jesus came declaring something that Moses did not declare. He came declaring grace and truth. Furthermore, wrapped up in that phrase is a declaration or manifestation of God the Father. Something that Moses in the law did not declare. He declared the law. He declared the terms of God's will for Israel. You do this, this, and this, Israel. You don't do this, you don't do this, and you'll live. But if you transgress my law, you need to bring sin offerings, and trespass offerings, and burnt offerings. You need to bring the blood of bulls and goats. But you need to do that every year for the nation on the Day of Atonement, and many other occasions where there's sin and transgression. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. What did the law do? The law taught Israel about their sin. From the law came a knowledge of sin. It taught them they were transgressors and they needed redemption. And they weren't going to get it from the law. They were going to get it from grace and truth found in Jesus Christ. So Jesus came preaching grace and truth. Jesus came declaring the Father. Now that's not preaching the law of Moses. You see that? Chapter 7 of John in verse 46. The verse says,
You remember the chief priests and Pharisees had sent the officers of the temple to arrest Jesus, and they started hearing him teach. And there was this great uproar in Jerusalem over Jesus. And they didn't arrest, they didn't seize Jesus. They came back and in fact, 44 says some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Verse 44. So, verse 46, the officers, you know, were 45. The chief priests and Pharisees said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" They answered. The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." Oh, wait a minute. No man ever spoke like this man. I thought Jesus was speaking like Moses spoke. That's what our brethren have told us. Jesus was teaching like Moses taught. But even these opponents said, no one talks like him. No one teaches the way he does. Even the opponents of Jesus understood that. Why can't our brethren see it? He came with a different message. He revealed the Father to mankind, not Moses to the Jews. The Jews already knew Moses. Jesus, not Moses, provided true manna with His words. Remember that in John 6? Look at this passage a minute. In John 6 chapter, verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to Him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst." Now wait a minute. He said, "Moses did not give you this bread, but I am this bread." So how could it be then that Jesus is teaching Moses if Moses never gave him this bread? See that? It's a false doctrine, my friends. It's false teaching. It's convincing you that Jesus came to do something and teach something He wasn't doing or teaching. In John 6 and 51, again He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever." So we're to believe that Jesus is the living bread that came from heaven, but what He was really doing was teaching the Jews how to keep the law of Moses. So you partake of what Jesus is teaching, and that's where you'll find your life. That's where you'll find your redemption, is what Jesus is teaching. The law? Of course not. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I have to put it in right now. Galatians 2 and 21. If righteousness comes through the law, then Jesus died in vain. Why did Jesus die? If you could find life from His teachings, which was the law of Moses, then Jesus died in vain. The Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. The words I teach you are words of life. But the words of Moses, the only way you can live in them is never transgress them. Galatians 3, 10 and 11. Quotation from Deuteronomy 10. You see, Jesus didn't come preaching Moses. He came preaching the message of life, of redemption, as the bread of life. If Jesus taught Moses, how is it that the Jews knew Moses but did not know Jesus? I want you to think about that a minute. If Jesus was teaching Moses, then why is it that they didn't know Jesus? Go to John, the 9th chapter, 28 and 29. Then they reviled Him and said, "You are His disciple, and we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." Now, wait a minute. We've been told by brethren today, well-known preachers today, right here in the state of Washington today, that Jesus was teaching Jews how to keep the law of Moses. Jesus was preaching Moses. If Jesus was preaching Moses, why didn't they give Him accolades? We know Moses. If they knew Moses, in fact, John 5 says, John 5, and drop down to about 46 and 7, if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. You do not believe his writings, how then will you believe my words? You see, the point of the truth is, they were in violation of Moses' law. They weren't in fellowship with Moses. And when Jesus is preaching the kingdom, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear the kingdom he had to preach. It wasn't the law of Moses. It was the gospel of the kingdom. And they had hardened themselves against Messiah that Moses and the prophets had talked about. And then he came as Messiah preaching his message. And they spurned him. They spurned him. Jesus preached a superior message to Moses. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Here's Moses, the lawgiver. Here's Elijah, representative of the prophets of the Old Testament. Here's Moses and the prophets, the law of the prophets. But God says here, my Son, he's to be preferred over the law and the prophets. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus repeatedly said, but I say to you, I want you to note there clearly and carefully, Jesus did not say, you heard that it was said, but Moses said to you this. Now I want you to look at this. Think about it with me. Stay with me now. Our brethren are telling us really what Jesus is doing is correcting the corruption of the law of the scribes and Pharisees in the sermon. And that's all he's doing. He's just teaching the law to them. If that's so, then I don't understand why they should accept his authority on it. Why didn't he just say, for instance, in 27, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Of course, that's from the law of Moses, isn't it? But I say to you, why didn't he just say, but Moses said to you? If he's just teaching them Moses, then why didn't he just say, you heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but Moses said to you, what Moses really said to you was this. You see that? They're not even, the whole doctrine is built on a false premise. If it was true Jesus was teaching them Moses, then he should have just said, here's, but Moses said to you this. But Moses said to you this. But he didn't say that a single time, did he? Not a single time. So why should we believe that kind of doctrine today? It's not in the Word of God. Christ's words, remember, Christ's words contain life. That's a superior message. Jesus, the law of Moses didn't contain life. But you look at this, Romans 3:19. We need to understand the law of Moses and what it served as. It served particular functions. It was a tutor, a schoolmaster, a guardian to bring people to Christ. It taught men of their sin, but it held men under their sin. It made sin exceedingly sinful. In Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, and literally that is simply by the deeds of law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by law is the knowledge of sin. Law identifies sin. It does not save you from it. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. You see, when Jesus came, he proclaimed the righteousness of God through faith, not a righteousness by the law. Galatians 3:22-25. Why the law? Well, it's explained in 2 Corinthians and Galatians 3:22, as it is there in Romans 3. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith that would afterward be revealed. You see, the law didn't provide forgiveness. In fact, it didn't give life. Look at verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could give life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. The law can give life. But Jesus said, "My words are life." Jesus said, "The Father, what your Father gave me to speak, His word is everlasting life." But the law didn't provide life. The whole doctrine is built upon a lie that there's life in the law of Moses. No, sir. No, Jesus preached a message superior to the old covenant. If Jesus was teaching the law of Moses, then eternal life was in the law of Moses, because what Jesus taught was life. If righteousness is from the law, then Jesus died in vain. Jesus didn't have to die. Why did He have to die? If there's life in what He taught, which was the law of Moses. Now, Galatians 3:21, you see, if the law could give life, righteousness being from the law, Jesus wouldn't have to die. But what Jesus taught was life. Therefore, He wasn't teaching the law of Moses, because there was never life. Redemption from sin, from the death of sin, available under the law. The words of Jesus are the words of eternal life. He made this point. Jesus wasn't teaching Moses. Jesus was full of grace and truth, revealing the Father, revealing the Father's purpose of eternal redemption offered to Jews and the Gentiles, to all the nations in the Christ. That's what Jesus came preaching. Moses spoke of Jesus, not the other way around. You see, Moses spoke of the Christ in Deuteronomy 18. But our brethren would want us to believe, no, when Jesus came, He came talking about Moses. Got turned upside down. The apostle said Jesus preached the gospel. In Acts 10, 36 and 37, Acts 10, 36 and 37, the apostle Peter says, that word, or 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Now look at that. The apostle said that when God sent His word to Israel, it was a word of peace, and it was preached through Jesus Christ. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. Now, what Jesus was preaching was a message of peace. Peace. He preached peace to Israel. What kind of peace? The forgiveness of sins. Peace with God. Look at Acts 13:38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. If Jesus was preaching the law of Moses, and that was the preaching of peace, then Jesus was preaching a lie to them. He was telling them, you can have peace with God by keeping the law of Moses. You just need to keep the law, and you'll find peace. The apostle said, no, sir. Jesus came preaching a message of peace, but that was not keeping the law of Moses. He preached a message that would give you forgiveness of sins, redemption, remission of sins. The gospel of the kingdom. The law of Moses did not save anybody from sin. If it did, all they've had to do is offer that animal one time. Just offer that animal blood once. Do you remember what God's Word says? The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. What it taught them was life had to be given for the redemption of your sin. But animal life wasn't going to cut it. And when Jesus came, He preached peace. You remember when that started? Look when it was preached. It was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. This is what Jesus was preaching when He was on earth. It wasn't the law of Moses. He preached reconciliation of Jews and Gentiles in one body. That's explained in Ephesians 2:14-18. Peace with God. The redemption is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. He preached the church of Christ, not Israel, under the law of Moses. Jesus preached redemption. He preached His church. Matthew 16:18-19. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, this peace was. And it's fulfilled in Christ and His gospel. In fact, Ephesians 2 refers to Isaiah 57 and verse 19. In that passage, Isaiah 57 and the 19th verse, the passage says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. The healing would come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He preached peace. In fact, look at Ephesians 2. Maybe we ought to look at that for a minute and not just go over it too quickly. Ephesians 2 and 14. He Himself is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation or partition, having abolished in His flesh the enmity contained in ordinances, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that He has created in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, and thereby putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near, that is to the Gentiles and the Jews. He came and preached peace. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus was preaching peace. It wasn't finding peace with God under the law of Moses. It was finding peace with God through the redemption found in His blood. Isaiah 11 verses 6 through 10. Isaiah, at some length, discusses the peace that the Messiah would bring. The lion would lie down with the lamb there. Isaiah 11 and the 6th verse. Actually, I think it says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. He's talking about peace with God, and thus peace with the people of God, in the church of God, in the church of Christ. Redemption that could never be achieved under the law of Moses. The apostles of Jesus said Jesus preached the gospel. He preached salvation, Hebrews 2:1-3. The salvation began to be spoken by the Lord, Hebrews 2:3. You see, that's not the law of Moses. That's not the law of Moses. Jesus was preaching salvation. The apostles were taught by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Was Jesus commanding those Jewish men, those apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, that everything I taught you and commanded you, now you go out and you teach these disciples that I want you to make, as you go out and preach the gospel? There's a real contradiction there, don't you? See, because if Jesus was teaching Jews the law of Moses, now He says, you go out and you teach them and you baptize them and you teach them everything I taught you. Well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus taught them the law of Moses. If He is teaching them the law of Moses, you mean the apostles are supposed to go out and teach the law of Moses to people who are saved? This won't fit. It won't work. Because it's a false doctrine, brethren. it's a false teaching. And that's why it won't fit. Why did the Holy Spirit need to bring to the apostles' remembrance everything Jesus said if His words had no binding authority today? And yet, that's exactly what He did, as He inspired the proclamation of everything Jesus taught and said. But you see, Jesus wasn't teaching the law of Moses. He was teaching the gospel of the kingdom. They already had the law of Moses, after all. We're not Jews. Why do we need to hear what Jesus said if all He was doing was teaching the law? We can read the law ourselves. We're Gentiles. See that? The problems just go on and on and on and on with this doctrine. 2 Corinthians 3, just a few minutes there and then we'll conclude our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In this rather lengthy passage, the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, makes a contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and the fading glory of the Old being surpassed by the New, that the Old was passing away and done away in Christ and fulfilled, just as He said that it would be. Our question then becomes, were the apostles of Christ ministers of death or of life? Because if what they wrote about what Jesus taught before the cross, if that belongs to the old covenant, then they were writing and becoming ministers of death. They were serving death. If what they wrote, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before the cross, all belonged to the old covenant. Yet the ministry of death was written on stones, wasn't it? 2 Corinthians, that should be chapter 3 and verse 7 on that chart. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. If the ministry of death, written and engraven on stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not look steadfastly in the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So, the ministry of death was written on stones. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wasn't written on stones, was it? Was Matthew ministering the Old Covenant? Now, he didn't write Matthew for many years after the death of Jesus. And now we're told that that record of what Jesus said that was written many years after the cross really had no application to the people that Matthew sent it to. So it was all about the Old Covenant before the cross, except for the last chapters or so. See how foolish that is? Was the book of Matthew passing away? If it's part of the Old Covenant, then Matthew was passing away even before he wrote it. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Again, look at 8. We just read that together. He said, the glory of the old is passing away. It's passing away. When Moses brought it down from the mount, it was never intended to be an everlasting covenant. But now Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John have come along and they've written about it. So they're really ministers of death, aren't they? Not servants of life. Luke, same illustration. According to the doctrine, Luke wrote Old Covenant and New Covenant when he's writing to Theophilus about the things that Theophilus believed. A Gentile, by the way. You see, it just, the problems of this doctrine just goes on and on. Jesus did not preach a ministry of condemnation, but if the doctrine is true, that's what he had to have been doing. If he is teaching the law of Moses, you see, verses 9 and 10, if the ministry of condemnation had glory. That's the law written and engraven on stones. That's the law of Moses. It was a ministry of condemnation because it could not extricate the sinner from his sin. It showed the condemnation of sin. It was a ministry of condemnation. That's what Jesus preached? Are you kidding me? That's the conclusion one's forced to if they accept this doctrine. Jesus is preaching what was passing away. Verse 11. When Moses is read today, does a veil remain? But you see, when the Old Covenant, when Jews read Matthew today, does a veil remain? Or is the veil lifted? I submit to you that when the book of Matthew is read today, it lifts the veil that remained when the Old Testament was read. You see, this whole doctrine has fraught with so much error. We need to understand that it is not what the Bible teaches. The writing of requirements was nailed to the cross. The old law was nailed there. Not verbal teachings of Jesus being nailed to the cross. The law of Moses was removed. Jesus came and fulfilled it, and in His death, in us fulfilling it, now His death becomes the mechanism of our redemption. As He's raised from the dead, He's exalted to God's right hand, and they begin now preaching the terms of obtaining the inheritance of the new covenant. The law of Moses is that law of commandments containing ordinances that was nailed to the cross and done away with. Were the words of Jesus done away with? Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." In conclusion, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before the cross is not the gospel of the kingdom, if it's really Jesus teaching Jews how to keep the law, then the disciples of Christ today are not permitted to appeal to the personal words of their master in order to authorize their conduct. You see, we're taught that the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. But here we have the extraordinary situation where a disciple today cannot go to the words of the master. When the master walked this earth and taught the gospel of the kingdom, the disciple today cannot appeal to the words of Jesus to know what to believe and what to practice. Who can believe it? Who can assert such a denial of the word of Jesus Christ? Many of our brethren can, because you see, they've given themselves over to justifying unlawful marriages. And Matthew 19 cannot be allowed to apply to marriages today, because it shows that many marriages that are received today are adultery. See, that's at the heart of this. If it doesn't apply today, the personal teachings of Jesus would never apply to men after the cross, because it was done away. But Paul applied them in 1 Corinthians 7:10. "I say unto you, yea, not I, but the Lord." And he applied Matthew 19:6 on that occasion. Another time he said, "Remember the words of the Lord." How he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was teaching the law. We're not under the law. Paul, don't tell us about what Jesus taught under the law. Foolishness. If it's true, then the old covenant contains everlasting life. Brother, this is just at the heart of it. If the word of Jesus was the old covenant, then the old covenant contains life, because Jesus' words contain life. John 12:49-50. Bible teaches Christ's covenant was dedicated by His blood. It's enforced today. What He taught was His gospel to bring forgiveness of sin, peace with God. That's what He preached. He preached peace. That's not the law of Moses, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're to hear Him just as they were in His day. Jesus said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, I liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock." We need to listen to what Jesus taught about NDR, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and apply it. Because He has authority over marriage. He has authority over all things. All authority has been given to Him in heaven and on earth. We need to listen carefully to the words of Jesus and the words of His apostles. They don't contradict. They harmonize. It's not the law of Moses. It's the gospel, the new covenant, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to stake our claim for our hope of eternal life. Not in the law, but in the gospel of Jesus.
If you're not a Christian, you're not going to be saved by going back to the law of Moses and trying to keep it. You're going to be saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through His shed blood that provides grace, because you're deserving of death. The wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die in our sin, but God has provided a sacrifice capable of removing sin, the blood of the sinless Son of God. If you'll believe that that is exactly who Jesus of Nazareth is, then repent of your sin against God today and be baptized today into the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He'll raise you to walk in newness of life. You'll be justified. He'll add you to His church. If you're a Christian, there's sin in your life, remedy that. The Bible teaches Christians to repent and pray, to confess our sin to God, and by the blood of the Son, He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us, 1 John 1:9. If you're subject to the gospel call of the Savior, come now while we stand and we sing.